You're listening to another exclusive interview on scorenotes.com.
Hi, everyone. We're here today on scorenotes.com with composer Marco Beltrami. Marco, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Hi, good. Very good, thanks.
Let's begin by discussing your most recent project. What can you tell us about your score for 310 to Yuma?
Well, it's definitely one of the most interesting projects that I've worked on, musically speaking. I had a lot of fun working with manipulating sort of these organic sounds and integrating them into a score that would sort of stand on its own as providing a unique complement to the movie.
Now, how rewarding was it to be involved in a Western like Yuma in a day and age where Westerns aren't really made with regularity anymore?
It's really nice. I mean, my dream has always been to work on a Western, and although there was a little movie I did a couple years ago called The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada, and that some people labeled as being a sort of a Western influence score, it really wasn't a Western per se, and this really is. So it was really nice to be able to share my ideas with this score.
Awesome. Now, what aspects of the film's storyline do you think you appreciated the most in writing the music for it?
I think there were a couple sequences that were a lot of fun to write and work on. There was the scene towards the end of the movie when they're running over the rooftops and having a gunfight at the end and getting away to the train, and obviously the end of the movie when Ben Wade rides off in the train. But overall, I think the thing that I really enjoyed was that I could come up with unique ideas for each character. You know, Ben Wade had a theme that was very simple. It's just a three-note theme, but just plucking these notes on inside the piano, a tack piano that I had for the score, and the harmonics that I used for Dan's theme, the guitar harmonics, and this manipulated acoustic guitar for the Charlie Wade and the posse, or the band of thieves. So to have these different elements interweaved in the score was I think, you know, overall made it enjoyable to work on the different scenes.
I guess it must be rewarding to see the film finish number one on top of the box office too, right?
Yeah, it's nice. I always knew the film was good. In fact, that's the reason that I took it, is that I thought it was a good movie. But be number one, I mean, it's not like it made a ton of money, but it still, I think, it shows that people are definitely interested in it. And even though there's not really many females in the movie, I mean, it's still is appreciated by a female audience as well.
Yeah, and let's hope this marks the return of more movies like this, because I think it's a void in modern day cinema.
It is. I mean, I know that there are some new Westerns that people are making and that are coming out, but I don't know if it's I don't think it's in response to this movie, because it hasn't even proven itself yet. But maybe sometimes these things are cyclical.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Especially in Hollywood, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to another recent project. What did you enjoy the most about working on Live Free or Die Hard this past summer?
Well, I mean, it was, I enjoyed the movie itself, so, and I was a fan of the other Die Hard movies, so to sort of be able to take this little simple motive that Michael came up with for the John McClane character, and then write sort of a modern-day version of sort of inspired by Kamen's ideas was in itself a challenge and fun at the same time.
Yeah, I suppose you probably had to do some research up front on that to integrate the music to update it for this feature.
Right.
Now, do you generally find that writing music for a film that has a built-in blockbuster status presents an additional set of challenges for you compared to films with a modest budget?
Well, I mean, the biggest challenge, I guess, is that usually on a big-budget movie, there's more people involved. So, you know, working on 310 to Yuma, I dealt with the director, and that was pretty much it. And his editor would come with him. But and that's often the case with smaller movies. But you know, on a bigger movie, there's often, you know, different studio executives that come and producers, and it's more of a, I guess there's a little bit more fear involved. There's a lot more money that's involved, and the music is not, it's not as easy to take chances with the music as it is perhaps in a smaller budget film. There's often a temp score that is put down in the movie that has been cut, and they know works with the film, and there's often a tendency to sort of not stray too far from that for the final score.
Yeah, I guess there's a certain amount of precision involved when the stakes are raised with the higher budgets.
Right, right.
Now, do you have a preference as far as movie type or even budget type of the type of projects you like to work on?
You know, genre-wise, I'm not that concerned with... I'm more concerned with the movie itself being a good movie and presenting possibilities to me, to the composer. I think the only type of movie that I really didn't enjoy that much was, there was a comedy that I did a while back for Fox that I, the one thing I don't really enjoy doing is sort of like musical sound effects and a lot of just really short little tag cues. But other than that, as long as I'm able to explore musical ideas throughout the score and have the chance to contribute something, and the film is good and inspiring, then the type of film doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a reasonable response. More to that, using sound effects in movies, that can't be too inspiring for a composer, I would say, when he's involved with the project.
Yeah, I know, it's not really, you know, I mean, there's sound effects themselves that sometimes that if you have a good sound department, you can work with the sound department and create something that works hand together. But when the composer's asked to sort of comment on the action by doing, you know, almost little musical sound effects in itself, that's not that rewarding.
Looking back at your career, what would you say was your breakthrough project or score that helped you gain a place within the industry?
The first movie that I did that really anybody would have seen was Scream back in 96. And that's sort of what gave me the spot with Dimension Films, Dimension Miramax back then, and gave me an in to work on a bunch of films and sort of cut my teeth with them and then branch off from there.
Now, as we wind down the interview and looking forward to the future, can you tell us about some of the projects you might have lined up or that you're currently working on?
The project I'm currently working on is an adaptation of a James Lee Burke novel called In the Electric Mist with Confederate Dead, but they shortened the title to just In the Electric Mist. And the director is this French director, Bertrand Tavernier, who's a brilliant director, you may know him from a movie he did called Around Midnight a few years back. And it's a movie that's it's sort of a murder mystery type movie, but that's just more of an excuse for more of a character movie. It's not really a genre picture. It all takes place down in this rural, swampy area of Louisiana. So it's interesting to me musically because it has these Cajun influences in it. And again, I think I have the chance to really explore something interesting musically, and I saw the movie just recently. They're still editing it, but it's shot beautifully, it's acted fantastically, and it's a really good picture.
Awesome, definitely something to look forward to. And just to wrap up here, your score for 310 to Yuma is very engaging to listen to, and I really appreciate the intensity and your knack for straying away from any Western cliches and creating really an original and unique score.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear you say that.
And, you know, best of luck with your future activities, and we hope to catch up with you again sometime in the future.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo. Take care.
Bye-bye.